Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a fall online-only auction Tuesday, October 8th. Register today at www.mdauction.com for the October 8th online auction. Bidding is open now, and lots begin closing at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 8th. View auction items online at www.mdauction.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here on an off day, or what should be an off day, and a bit of a shorter stream tonight. Forgive me for missing yesterday. I have been trying to fight off something ugly, and I'm on the back end of it. I'm on the mend. I'm doing better, but still, it has just taken like every ounce of my energy to just get through the radio show the last couple of days, and you know, wrangle a toddler around and all that. So I've needed to just take a load off. So appreciate you for being here on, again, what is supposed to be an off night. Sorry about missing last night, but we're making up for it right now, and then we'll be back live again tomorrow as well. So again, my name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here for this edition of the Rebel Report, presented as always by the Gregory Law Firm. If you have been personally injured, or you have a small business in which you need some legal advice, or maybe a contract dispute, there is one person to call. And I want you to save this number, because this day could come in. You may not need them right now, but that day could come in which you do, and you don't want to be left out in the cold, not knowing where to go, or not knowing if there's somebody trustworthy out there that you should go to in what would be a pretty quote-unquote desperate time. This is somebody that you can rely on, that you can trust, and it's DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Saltillo, but he can service you anywhere in Mississippi. Call him, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. 9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today and save that number. If that day hasn't come yet, but it might in the future, save that number. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, for all your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes, presenting the Rebel Report. So the injury report has come out, the first one for Ole Miss, South Carolina, and it is already at the point. It is already at the point where the only designation that you should look at is out, because Lane Kiffin is making a mockery of this. It's kind of a joke. I feel like everybody knew that, or knew that it would be treated that way, and sure enough, it is. So far, the players listed out, none of which are of any consequence for this game. Jaden Williams is listed as doubtful. I mean, I would be surprised if he played. Otherwise, I mean, you've got like Trey Harris listed as questionable. Trey Harris is going to play. You've got Micah Pettis listed as questionable. Micah Pettis is going to play. So all I'm going to talk about with Ole Miss's injury reports moving forward is out, and then maybe some doubtful. But otherwise, I'm not going to waste my time, because they are, with the way Kiffin has done it the last couple of weeks, he is telling all of us to not waste our time. And so I'm not going to do that. Forgive me if I'm being a little cynical tonight. Again, I feel like death. So I was going to read your comments first. I want to get to this first. Had a really good interview with Jordan Kay, covers South Carolina for the state, on the radio show today. I wanted to bring that to you because he was really good. You know, sometimes you get the beat writer interviews where anybody that's willing to give us time is they give us good info and all that. This one was a little bit better than most. I think Jordan was really frank about this South Carolina team. And in fact, I came away from the interview thinking that if you're an Ole Miss fan, you should be a little bit more confident in this game than otherwise. South Carolina's got a handful of players with a lot of upside, and there's a lot of ways that they can beat you in this game. It's certainly losable for Ole Miss. There's no doubt about it, but there's a lot of question marks on this South Carolina team as well. And Jordan talked with us about that, the offense, wide receivers, and all that good stuff. So I'm going to bring that to you now. I had to cut it a little bit short, so I cut out my first question. It was simply about Lenore Sellers and Rocket Sanders and their availability for Saturday. So here is that interview now. It's really good stuff. It'll start with his answer. And then we'll get to your comments on the other side. So this is a really good opponent preview of South Carolina from Jordan Kay of The State. Here that is for you right now.
Running back, I think, is a little bit more of a question mark. Rocket Sanders went down against Akron 2 weeks ago and then had the entire bye week to recover. Lenora Sellers, though, went out against LSU almost 3 weeks ago. I heard he was back practicing, you know, even last week and been practicing this week. I would be shocked if he doesn't go against Ole Miss this week. So South Carolina is likely going to have their starting quarterback back. And then as far as running back, still to be determined. So we're going to have to monitor that. We'll probably learn a bit, little bit today based off the availability report.
Is it fair to say, because we said this on this show after the game, that if Lenora Sellers does not get hurt against LSU, South Carolina wins that game?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, South Carolina fans believe even though he got hurt, they still should have won. There were, you know, a bunch of penalties that were a tad questionable. I'm sure some of you guys have seen on Twitter. Mm. And then just dumb mistakes, dumb penalties towards the end. I mean, they should have won that game even without him. But yes, if Lenora Sellers plays that game, they're most likely 4-0.
And so, obviously, he's a big guy, but a really good athlete. If he is either limited because of health or if Ole Miss is able to contain his running game, I saw somebody say earlier that South Carolina just doesn't have the receivers, and I thought, that doesn't appear to be true, is it?
It is. It is true, yeah. They don't have really, like, many guys right now that you would look at and say, it's third down, that guy's going to make a play. Their leading receiver right now is a true freshman, and he hasn't even compiled 150 receiving yards. So it's just been a really lackluster passing offense. And I think Sellers, even in the time he's played, hasn't completely shown that he's, like, this fully matured quarterback, which is natural. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman who has some jitters in his first game. Looks like he's starting to figure things out against Kentucky. Looks really good in the first half against LSU. And then all that progress basically halts right away with an injury. And now he's got to come back after not seeing the field in like 3 weeks. And it's just, we're not really sure what we're going to get from him. And then you look at a receiving group that I don't know that many South Carolina fans trust right now. It's a lot of new faces, a lot of newcomers, and young guys. So that's definitely the big question mark right now of South Carolina's offense is, you know, how much has Sellers progressed? And then even if he has, does he have the receivers there that are going to be able to make plays and get open for him?
Well, how would you describe, so if somebody's never watched South Carolina play before, what is their offense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they run a lot of, like, option-type football. I mean, there's a lot of times where they'll even run, like, triple option, where Sellers, you know, has the ability to either hand it off to Rocket Sanders, take it himself, or throw. And so there's a lot of different option, triple option, RPO elements to their offense. And I think that's kind of the goal is, hey, we have a running back in Lenora Sellers, and even if he's out, Ashford, who can run the ball. We've got to make it as hard on these defenses as possible, and so we've got to keep them guessing who's going to get the ball, even if it is a run play. So that's probably the biggest extent to it is, I mean, they're going to be an option team, and you really do have to account for their quarterback. The last couple of games, they've tried to establish a run. Rocket Sanders, who we mentioned with the injury, we're not sure if he's going to go. That could change the game a little bit. So, yeah, I think in some ways I think we're still trying to figure it out too because it was really weird the first two games. Then you started to think during the LSU it was figured out, and then Sellers got injured, and now you're kind of looking back of like, yeah, what exactly is their offense? And so I think I don't even know if we have completely figured that out yet.
You know, Williams-Brice is famously a really difficult place to play. Maybe the most underrated place in terms of difficulty to play. This week has a little bit of extra juice, pun absolutely intended. The vitriol or the intensity of this game is ratcheted up just a little bit, right, because of the Juice Well storyline.
Yeah, it really has. And it's kind of crazy because it's like he didn't play all last year, and there was just so much odd stuff going on to the point where, like, coaches towards the end of last year were almost insinuating during press conferences that he had the ability to play but wasn't, you know, giving it his all to come back. And then the way he left, we're kind of saying that he was coming back, but then enters the transfer portal, and he was one of their top NIL earners last year, and people kind of felt like he was, you know, I saw people put on Twitter, and, you know, not 100% true, but like that he was faking an injury to collect his NIL checks. Well, I don't think that's 100% true, but that's what a lot of people feel, and it's been the biggest storyline, I think, when you look at the schedule for the past, like, 6 months with this team is that Juice Wells return game. And there's been a lot of people who have, like, just fired themselves up over this for the last, you know, couple weeks of just waiting for this game. I think there was a lot of South Carolina fans just hoping and praying it was a night game just to really get the juices flowing. That won't happen. But, yeah, I'm curious to see the reception. I mean, kind of weird because it's like a wide receiver, but, like, are there going to be people, like, I don't know, as the Ole Miss buses come in? It's going to be interesting to see, like, what it exactly looks like. Are people going to have signs? I don't know. But, yeah, I can tell you folks in Columbia are not big Juice Wells fans.
Dylan Stewart appears, from our vantage point, to look special already, and he's only four games into his career. Is he as good as everybody thinks he is?
Yeah, but I want to see him now that people know who he is. Like, LSU pretty well, like, kind of contained him a little bit. Granted, they have two of the best tackles in the country, but, you know, even Akron, he only had two tackles. He didn't have any tackles against LSU. I mean, he is such a force that he's going to make an impact on a game, basically, regardless. He has such a plethora of pass rush moves, especially for an 18-year-old who graduated high school like 8 months ago. It's pretty impressive, that part. But I want to see him, like, be able to just dominate when everyone knows that he's going to be rushed off the edge. I think the guy that, you know, South Carolina has had to rely on more right now is the Georgia Tech transfer, Kyle Kennard, who's tied for the nation lead in tackles for loss. He has been an absolute monster, and even when people are double-teaming him, he still seems to make an impact on plays constantly, to the point where, I mean, even on plays where they're just throwing the ball away, it's like, holy cow, like, how did Kyle Kennard get off the ball so quick? How did he beat that offensive tackle in like a half second? How was he able to adjust on a, you know, an option where he's going after the quarterback, sees it, gets handoff, and then goes after the running back? Like, so I think Kennard right now is the biggest specimen that South Carolina has on its defense.
Got about a minute left here. Ole Miss has a wide receiver, not named Juice Wells, that is approaching 1,000 yards already this season in Trey Harris. Does South Carolina have a defensive back that they think that could, you know, match up with him well, or is that going to be an area in which the Gamecocks fear that they could get exploited?
Yeah, they have decent safeties. Like, Nicky Minwori is going to be a draft pick either this year or next year, just a really big safety. But they don't have like an all-American corner that's going to be able to stop Trey Harris. Like, absolutely not. And so, yeah, that's a big concern, especially when you look at what South Carolina's done there for four games. They've given up like a long touchdown to Old Dominion, given up a long touchdown to Akron, given up a long pass play to Kentucky. It's like, they're very susceptible to giving up these big pass plays, and that's going to be the big thing. It's like, you got to make sure Trey Harris doesn't burn you like three times. You know, he's probably going to burn you once or twice, but make sure it's not all day.
Jordan, thank you so much for your time, man. Appreciate it. This was really good stuff.
And thanks to Jordan Kay for that. That was really good stuff, I thought. I hope you guys enjoyed that as well. Little opponent preview of South Carolina. Big, big game for Ole Miss, specifically big for Lane Kiffin. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But I want to get to some of your comments before we get out of here. Again, this is going to be a shorter one tonight. Please forgive me. I just need to go lay down again. But I do want to get to some of your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. To them, I sent you, you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need, what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. Got 16 locations here in Mississippi. They always make you their priority with local loan servicing and decision-making. So if you need a loan or if you have one through them and need it serviced or whatever the case may be around it, you'll sit down with somebody face-to-face. You don't have to get on Zoom or talk to somebody from out of state to deal with your loan, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, to the comments we go for a little while. Sanderson update. It starts tomorrow, so there's nothing really to update until then, but I'm really excited. I mean, the field is truly, truly, really good. Well, we're doing the show from the balcony behind the pro shop tomorrow, so looking forward to being out there and being out there Friday for a little while, and then Saturday with my little guy, and then Sunday following the leaders. It's, I cannot wait for the Sanderson Farms Championship. I'm truly excited about the field, and Steve Gent and the people there do such a good job. And, you know, the PGA Tour coming to Mississippi is still such a really cool thing. And I am, you know, I'm just very excited to have that as part of what we do here. So anyway, glad to see you, Jerry. Welcome back, Borkley. Yes, good to see you, man. So you're not feeling well either. Something's going around in Oxford. So mine, man, it went from, I caught like just this, you know, crud from a little man that he got from school, I assume. And then Monday night, I had to fight a vicious battle with food poisoning that lasted 36 hours. Just absolutely kicked my, you know what? I'm still, my stomach is sore. Like my abs are sore from the volume of vomiting that I've done over the last day and a half. It's been brutal. And I finally stopped this morning. So I'm just in recovery right now. Might as well put Ulysses Bentley on the injury report at this point. Matt Jones was on there, you know, from that vicious fall that he took when Jackson pointed him down. Been up and down yourself, three kids and the wife, and passing it around too. Always enjoy your show. Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. South Carolina listing Sanders and Sellers is questionable is interesting. Apparently Sellers has been practicing, but practicing is a little bit different. That ankle, I mean, it was bad. It looked bad. So even if he plays, you do have to question whether or not he's 100%. But as you heard from Jordan, they expect Sellers to play, not so much with Sanders. You'll pick Ole Miss to win. You're expecting some sort of bounce back. As of now, you're betting on a loss to LSU. Ole Miss's defense is a really good matchup against Carolina. It's a great matchup against South Carolina. Absolutely. Ole Miss's front six, if they're healthy, are very much equipped to stop the run here. And if they can do that, they're probably in really good shape. You just refuse to believe the staff players will continue to bash their heads against the wall on offense the same way we saw on Saturday. Lane Kiffin isn't stupid. And that is that's the thing, right? If Ole Miss would have lost, look, if you had to lose to Kentucky, you would much rather have lost the way they did as opposed to 45-42. Because that would have, to me, that would have been far more concerning about their prospects down the road winning football games, because if you're not stopping Kentucky defensively, then you're in big trouble. I don't think that you can keep a Lane Kiffin coached offense off the scoreboard very often. I mean, everybody has stinkers. We've talked about the game plan and the approach a lot, so we don't need to rehash that. But Ole Miss having a bad day offensively is far less concerning than having a bad day defensively, because you think that you know that Lane Kiffin over the years is capable of producing elite offense even after a stinker. And they had a stinker on Saturday. But if anybody can adjust and get them out of that, it's Lane Kiffin. You still get nightmares hearing Rocket Sanders' name after 2022 Arkansas. I hear you. What's the closest comparison to another game like this in the Lane Kiffin era? LSU last year. LSU last year is a good one, though. because that was a, okay, who is he kind of moment. I don't think there is one like this. I really don't. I don't think there is one. Quite frankly, because he has taken Ole Miss's program to what a lot of people think, and I don't think they're right, to a ceiling. And this year, all doubt was removed about what Ole Miss can be, right? The roster is talented and capable. The program is invested in ways it never has been before. And it was exclusively about, can Lane Kiffin do this? That for people like a Josh Pate who think that you can't win at Ole Miss, they're not paying attention to what they have done putting into their program to make it competitive and what they put into this roster to make it competitive. Saturday's about Lane Kiffin. Saturday is about Lane Kiffin, and can he get his team off the mat and continue to elevate the program that he's coaching? Because this roster, there is no excuse for the team that he put together and the program that he is currently coaching to lose to Kentucky and South Carolina. This is exclusively about Lane in ways that I don't think that we've seen at Ole Miss yet. How do you not get tired of talking sports? I mean, I'd be doing it if I got paid or not, right? No, I love this. Yes, I do think this is the most important game of the Kiffin era at Ole Miss. I do. And then if they win, next week is even more important than South Carolina. But yes. As of now, does Ole Miss have over under 2.5 losses coming out of the Georgia game? You're going to call me crazy. Under. You thought the polls were kind to Ole Miss. 12 was pretty generous and gives them an opportunity to rise back up. Yeah, I think that, I mean, college football happens. I don't think that losing a game means that you're a fraud, especially, I mean, I know it's, they were 3-score favorites and they should not have lost, but you lose games in college football sometimes. It does happen. And so you're not going to get punished until it happens again. Still don't get the game plan from Saturday. Would rather see Trey fewer receiving yards and win. Lane said game would be a challenge, but they played like they were already looking ahead. They typically bounce well after starting slow in SEC play under Kiffin. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And losing to Kentucky has nothing to do with hitting a ceiling. I agree. I mean, it's just college football does happen sometimes. They beat 10-win LSU and Penn State last year with a worse roster. And you're at 9-3 right now. You've come up a little since Sunday. Pass defense concerns me versus LSU. That's the biggest concern. And that's why when you said a second ago that the matchup really favors Ole Miss in this game. Because if you believe what Jordan said, South Carolina in the pass game just doesn't have it compared to, I mean, even possibly what you saw with Kentucky. I don't think South Carolina has the receivers that Kentucky has. Sellers is limited to some degree in the pass game. I'm with you. I think Ole Miss is a really good opportunity to control this game. And South Carolina on the other side of the ball, that they are, and Kiffin talked about it in his press conference, because I've seen some Ole Miss fans say, well, if Kentucky's defensive line gave Ole Miss problems, well, South Carolina's will too. It certainly can. They've got the talent to give it problems, but it's a totally different kind of unit. Kentucky was more physical, more power, more size. South Carolina is going to be really aggressive defensively, and they're not as – it's more about athleticism on the edges than it is being, like, big and physically imposing. I'm very curious to see how Ole Miss – how their approach is on Saturday afternoon, because it's a totally different defensive approach that they're going to be facing for sure. So – anyway, I know this is a short one. If I keep progressing, we'll go back to it. We'll do a long stream tomorrow. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here as always. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report. Hope you enjoyed the chat with Jordan, and I will see you guys tomorrow night.
A
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.